You're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. Open source, grassroots, community, solar-powered radio. Broadcasting live from the Cultural District here in gray Fairfield.
Yeah, that's kind of gray today. Yeah.
It is kind of gray today, but it's
raining or snowing or icing at the moment.
That is true.
I listen Monday.
Oh, that's true. That's true, because you may be listening on Monday and it might be sunny on Monday.
Yeah, it might. All right. That would be nice.
Yeah. Well, we can't complain about the weather too much because it's going to change anyway.
Yeah,
don't like the weather, wait around.
10 minutes, it'll change.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah. So, I'm your host, Monica Hadley, here on Writer's Voices Today. And sitting beside me is my wonderful mother and co-host, Caroline Kilborn.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And this is the first time we've been together in the studio in a few weeks.
Yes, it is, because we were here and there and everywhere. And last week, we had road conditions, so I didn't come, and so...
Trying to get your mic down, but
oh well.
there we go.
Okay, now we got it.
Technical. Well, stay tuned for technical difficulties here.
It happens in the best of families, Monica.
Have one of our best guests today.
Yes, we do. It is a Shan Vanderleek. Shan Vanderleek, and let me tell you something about her. Her background in broadcast television, advertising, sales, marketing, and client development, along with her experience as a sales force leader, her personal style and direct approach have assisted hundreds of people in overcoming personal and professional challenges. Telephone and email consultations make her accessible to clients all over the world. And many people would like to do things, but they don't know how to get started, and this is the person that helps them.
And her book... Your passion from inspirational entrepreneurs. Welcome to Writer's Voices, Shan.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Sutton's Bay, Michigan.
Okay. So we have nothing on you in terms of cold then.
it's a beautiful...
All right. Well, Shan, why did you decide to write Life on Your Terms?
I think more than anything because I knew that while I was experiencing my own transition, I could be helpful to others in sharing what other people who had gone before them in career or when reinventing their lives. And it began as just a way to reach out to other entrepreneurs and talk that lent itself to, wow, what if I compiled these stories and shared them worldwide.
And when did it get published?
We published in August of 2010.
Okay, so it's been out there for a few months. And is it accomplishing what you had hoped?
It really is. The beauty of Life on Your Terms for me is that there's a community coming together around the project through the blog and social media, as well as and eventually nationally. So yeah, I'm in a slow burn with this book and this project because this is my life's work.
Now, you're a professional transition coach. Can you explain to us what exactly that means?
I can. I have the pleasure of sharing my time with people who are in reinvention stage, people who are moving from one career to the next either on purpose or because they were let go or downsized, or the person who decides after a long time in service to corporate America that they want to follow their passion and move forward in the direction of their dreams as it pertains to becoming an entrepreneur. And one of the very best services that I offer is teaching people how to navigate through the significant stages of each transition, because although everyone's transition is a little bit different, the stages that we normally experience...
Really with people who are doing the transition to entrepreneur, is that your focus?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your own transition?
I can. For about 18 years, I served the television broadcast model of corporate America. I began as a sales... radio host with my own program in college, which led to selling advertising for college radio, which led to television advertising and support, then sales, then direction. And the final 11 years in that profession were devoted to leading an incredible sales force. And with a lot of entrepreneurs and small businesses, as well as a lot of the big box retailers. So I learned a lot about business before I ever ventured into my own with True Balance Life Coaching.
Oh, interesting. Because you're business people.
They sure were.
Yeah. So that was a good way to get some lessons without having to pay for them.
I would say that I did pay for them.
Okay.
It was a lifetime of service, but it was definitely a wonderful tuition to pay for what happened next.
And what was that? What happened next?
The creation of True Balance Life Coaching and the creation of Life on Your Terms and the opportunity to meet with and inspire and part path or are ready to take a look at what their options are, to get out of their own way, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and go for it.
Well, there's so many people in today's culture that have been downsized or lost their jobs in various fields, all over the United States and all over the world. And so a lot of them are out there looking, searching, yearning for something. They don't know where to go, so now they're going to know where to go.
Well, thank you. I like to think so, because there's so much opportunity before everyone that finds himself in that place, even though it doesn't seem like there is, especially if it's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Was there some, like, crucial moment where you knew this? Our guest last week gathered stories about epiphanies. She, Elise Ballard, who wrote Epiphany. And so I'm wondering, did you have an epiphany that led to your decision?
Did. I actually had two. The first corporate meeting that was pretty brutal and was basically an inspection of the sales force that I'd grown to care about and lead, and very much positioning everybody's value within the organization, and some real hardball going on, which my career was not an issue for me, but something was changing inside, and part of it was being a new mother. Part of it was just having a new awareness for the way that I was leading, because I began coaching in my leadership role several years before I left. And anyway, so we're in this meeting, and it's really starting to stink, and I'm emotionally drained, and I look outside, and I can see this incredible rainbow, and no one else in the room has the vantage point that I do to see it.
Wow.
And it was this moment where, honey, it's going to be okay. This is not what your future looks like.
Wow.
And then that was it. That was the biggest moment. There was another one while I was actually on maternity leave, where I saw Martha Beck being interviewed on television, and I was blown away by her and the opportunity to do or to be looked to for the future. And we so often do, you find something and you kind of kick it around a little and play with it, and then maybe you put it aside and forget about it for a while. So it took multiple epiphanies. The final one was the rainbow in the conference room, for sure. I did not. I had a very high-powered, well-paying position with stacks of cash and an SUV, an expense account, a nice lifestyle, and a family that counted on that. And so there needed to be some heavy-duty conversations, and had to make sure that we as a family were going to be moving on the right track, and had to ask my husband to step up into a new role that he hadn't had to think about before. for, because I loved what I did until I didn't.
I had to step up and take that role, at least temporarily. And what I'm curious about then, as your entrepreneurial business grew and you became, you know, more successful in that, then how did that change the relationship with your husband in the role that he had?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is we're moving into year five, so we're still in transition. But I can tell you that this past year was the best year for my business ever. I had an increase in more than 30% increase in my business. So as he started to step things up with his business as an entrepreneur, the economy fell apart. And so we were really thrown a curveball, because as it was almost at the pinnacle of his success that the market just fell, the bottom fell out.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to completely reinvent himself. And this is after I left.
So the safety net wasn't there. Tightrope without a safety net at that point.
Right. Well, and that's what helped us realize that the safety net is really an illusion anyway. And I can say that because I came from that place of letting that go and then watching him do the same. So we are in a brilliant spot right now, because my business is taking off really well and I'm very clear about the direction, the path that I'm on, and he has become clear and is enjoying what he's doing, and it's a complete shift for him. So we've just got a lot of change, a lot of excitement and energy flying around our house.
Oh, wow. I can't remember who it was, but one of the interviewee said, you know, in the United States, the worst case is not really that bad. You're not going to starve to death.
Right.
You know, if you try something and totally fail, we do have at least somewhat of a social safety net in place where you're probably not going to end up on the streets. I think he said you can, you know, sleep with friends or even do couch surfing.
You know? Yeah, you're talking about Tony Shaw's interview from Zappos.
Yeah.
And he is just the most humble, down-to-earth, real person who's enjoying all of the success as an entrepreneur, and you know, certainly one of the names in the book that people know.
Right.
A lot of the names that people don't, and that was by design for sure. But yeah, I loved what he had to say. It just really takes you back to this place of, oh, my goodness, you're right.
And how did you get in touch with him?
You know, I just found out how to contact him and reached out and asked.
Wow.
And that's pretty much, yeah. I'm pretty bold, so
no.
I figure it's okay to tell me no, but
right.
I'm going to ask you to say yes first.
Right.
And I put together an invitation looking for inspirational entrepreneurs and unfiltered creatures of the universe. I wanted people who were ready to share, and they just easily came. I could have doubled the number of interviews if I wanted.
The safety net and whether or not you have one. You know, I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I have involvement in about 7 businesses right now, but I think part of why I could always do it is that I knew that that I was never going to end up on the streets. You know, that if
right.
things were
say a lot of people can go home. Not
yeah.
everybody.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but
yeah.
a lot of people can go home again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you've got there's somebody who's going to help you pick yourself up if you need help.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make it easier to take the risks that are required to have real success in business.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in this community, people take a chance a lot, don't they, Monica?
It's true. And some of them flop over
fail.
And over again.
Yeah,
and
they keep going. They
eventually succeed. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, not just here and now. That's been the case throughout history. Walt Disney declared bankruptcy several times before.
I didn't know that.
Before he was successful with the Disney company.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that's true of a lot of business we just don't know about, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Or like Edison, who said he, you know, learned how not to make a light bulb like 999 times.
Okay.
Before he got the right one.
Yeah.
So, Shan, when you started working on What made you decide, you know, what was the thing when you actually decided to create a book from these stories that you started gathering? What was your next step then? You know, you'd been talking to people, you had various stories. How did you convert that to an actual book project?
Well, that's a good question. It occurred to me that I would start to write my book, and I knew that I wanted to tell my transition story along with coachable exercises and coaching moments. And then support each chapter with the interviews that that I conducted. And it came together very organically. So I would do a number of interviews in a given period of time, and then I would have them transcribed, and then while I was doing that, I'd work on a chapter. And it just started to come together that, you know, what it would look like and how everything would be shared with the world. And in the midst of that, I began Wealthy Book. Mm-hmm. And through that process, I learned all about building my platform and what needed to happen when you are the author of a book, part of the reason why I did it. So not only to be a part of that organization and that great group of women, but to feel what it takes of the trade and then come back to life on your terms and finish up the book. And then let it roll.
What did you do as a co-author in that? Did you write a chapter, or was it more involved?
Yes. I wrote a chapter called "Walking Away from the Big Buck," and so that story was the springboard story to life on your terms.
Ah, because that's what you did. That was your actual life story there.
Yes.
Uh huh.
Okay.
And then I thought, well, if my story is interesting, and if this career transition, I'm not the only one. There are people like me all over the planet.
Let's
reach out. And it was important to me too that I talk to people in more than just the United States, which I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because every culture, every country has its own culture and its own problems and its own solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Although there is a universal theme in this, I know, but still. I know Monica had a friend who was from a foreign country, and he was forced to go back there because of visa problems, and he told her, he said, oh gosh, life is so much harder there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things, yeah.
Well, and we can only come from the place of our own experience, so mm-hmm. the more information that we can gather and distill and look at it and just become threads, but is tough as it is for some people right now, we're still very, very blessed to be living in the United States of America, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So, Shan, when you mentioned learning, what was the title of that book that you were co-author of again?
Wake Up Women, Wealthy.
Okay. And who was, like, the guiding force behind that?
So the guiding force behind that, a group of women that came together and wanted to be a part of a spinoff of the Wake Up Live group of entrepreneurs. They came together under the supervision of Wake Up Live, because they had been in the business as publishers much longer. And I'm not remembering how they found me, but
I was wondering
maybe through the Coach Training Alliance.
Mm.
And I just really liked them in my heart, that this was a really good move for me as a coach, whether or not I was going to write my own book or not.
Right. Now, you mentioned that you learned about building a platform, and that's kind of a new terminology in the book world, but one that we're hearing more and more, particularly in regards to nonfiction. Can you explain for somebody who might not understand what that means?
Sure. Basically, what that means is beyond the book, beyond the piece of work, beyond everything that you've done to produce your masterpiece, you have thought about the longer life of your book. And so you do some media planning, some public relations planning, communication training. You think about and distill the key points of what it is that you're trying to share with your audience, and you have multimedia or telecalls, podcasts, maybe there's a social media aspect to it, a web act, you know, website, just the whole package around a particular theme, which for me is life on your terms. And at the time, I had a lot of marketing. I would say I probably knew more than enough, but what I didn't have was this wonderful encapsulated opportunity to take a look at each component and say, oh, well, that, okay. If I follow that thread, I'm going to be good to go on what I need to do. And so by following the advice and by did the pre-promotion for Life on Your Terms, it was wildly successful, and I did it without affiliates, and I did it without hiring, you know, special companies to make it happen. I did it grassroots. I did it through the entrepreneurs in the book and through my circles of influence. And so,
does that mean like sending out a excerpt from the book to everyone on your email list, or, you know, how does that work?
Okay, that means communicating with the people that you talk with your following, friends, peers, key process, what is going to happen next, asking them for their support, making it really easy for people to understand what you're up to, what your mission is. So it could be an excerpt, it could be a part of an interview, it could be a blog post, it could be a press release, but it can be any of those things.
And at one point or another, probably will be all of the above at a different,
right.
At one
I'm
stage
at the point
or another.
Now where, yeah. I'm the next phase for me is a video production shoot that I have in less than 2 weeks.
Wow.
Where we'll be taking it, you know, beyond the book trailer, beyond.
So, Mom, you got.
So you say that the time for liberation is now. What do you mean by that?
Well, for many years, I enjoyed my career,
mm-hmm.
but when it started to feel more like a prison sentence, and I really felt like I needed to find my way out, I deserved to follow my passion. I figured out that I deserved to explore that, and it was my time to get real and to face those fears we talked about earlier,
yeah.
and to develop a critical path, a timeline, if you will, mm-hmm. for my transition. And become the master of my own destiny. And that's really how the whole thing started.
You feel
personal career transition sparked the curiosity, and then that led to the observation of so many people bumping around from one role to the next or one task to the next, seemingly dead inside.
Do you think there are a lot of people?
I ask myself, how, you know, these people do not have them to break out of that.
Is there, I think, maybe a good deal of fear in stepping out like that? When you
mm-hmm.
when you have, especially in this economy, when you have a job and you think, oh, do I want to do this? You know, it would be hard. It would be hard sometimes. Got to take that leap of faith. Leap of faith, right?
I think that's also why we have the catalyst for, you know, the discomfort or the pain or the knowing when you're in a scene that just doesn't suit you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why that's coming up for you.
Right.
As painful as it is, it makes it just a little bit easier to move forward.
But, Shan, do you think that everyone who isn't happy with their job should be an entrepreneur?
No, I don't.
And how do you help someone decide if it's right for them?
Well, one of the things that I do, both in the book and in the workbook series that supports Life on Your Terms, is go through a checklist of questions, and that way, are they unhappy in their job and they just want a new job, or are they in a position where they are really ready to be their own boss and make a business happen and have that entrepreneurial spark? It's important because not everybody is an entrepreneur.
Right, and some people may not have the skill set yet or the mindset that, you know, there's certain benefit of staying as an employee and learning what you can.
Yeah.
in that role. Have you ever had a situation where someone came to you wanting, you know, with a great idea and maybe the inspiration, but you felt yet?
It has happened, and the beautiful thing about that is through our coaching calls, those individuals figure that out for themselves.
Ah, that's great.
Because you get into some really good questions and some good thoughts, and it's not for me to tell anybody what they're ready for or what they're not, but I can certainly ask the questions.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Then they have to discover the answers for themselves, but and maybe they didn't know the questions before. So
right.
This is
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting to the right question is important. So, Shan, would you like to share?
I would love to.
What would you like to read to us?
Well, I'm going to start with a quote that sums up the mission of the project for Life on Your Terms, and then we'll move right into the introduction and a bit of the first chapter.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Terms. Is really about allowing for grace for your next transition. I woke up in a dreadful fury. The red light on the alarm clock glared at me, 5:30 a.m. A few more minutes of sleep was all I wanted, anything to put off going back to the office. Does this sound like your average day? It used to be mine. For many years, I had enjoyed my job, but now it felt more like a prison sentence. And I knew I had to find a way to escape. I decided that I deserved to follow my creative calling. It was time to get real, face my fears, develop a path to transition, and become the master of my own destiny. Career transition sparked my curiosity. Every day, I observed people bumping around from one role to the next, one task to the next, seemingly dead inside. It made me ask myself, how have so many people become cut off from a universe filled with abundance and wonder? Tease and taunt me with questions. What if I could talk to wildly successful entrepreneurs who have figured out how to fully leverage a life of entrepreneurial freedom, happiness, tranquility, and passion? What if together these entrepreneurs and I could identify common threads amongst these visionaries who have summoned the courage to push through the keyhole and gain access to the shiny world on the other side? What would happen if I distilled these entrepreneurial characteristics into an inspirational guide? If I was able to create a life filled with abundance and passion, and if my personal story was inspirational to others, then wouldn't a collection of stories be even more powerful? Entrepreneurs who are living life on their terms, with just one person who may tell a friend. Would the wisdom begin to spread across the global landscape? It was these questions which guided me to write this book, which I hope will inspire even just one person to find the courage to complete abandon. The more than 40 interviewees selected for this project are strong entrepreneurial spirits who are highly successful and passionate about their lives and careers. An eclectic cross-section of coaches, artists, authors, CEOs, creators, brand creators, bloggers, life assistants, and intuitives. They come from places around the globe, including Oregon, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Ohio, Vermont, California, Florida, Hawaii, Idaho, Asia, all extraordinary people who through epiphanies or multiple nudges manage to uncover, identify, and clearly see where they belong in this great big world. From chucking it all and backpacking around the world to not being afraid to die, from never tasting a mental illness, from climbing the corporate ladder to base jumping off the top into the realm of personal freedom, these are the tales of individuals desiring to be their best, giving back to their communities, allowing for divine love, even traveling to remote areas of the world to uncover stories of elephant whispers. Each stands today transformed by their own transitions, passions, and legacies, reaching out with arms wide open, saying, "Come join me. The best is yet to be." The journey began with my personal transition and reinvention. It is my hope that it will lead to yours. You want to live your passion without being chained to someone else's dream. You are ready to move forward in the direction of your choosing. I wrote this book for you. Potential entrepreneurs, it's time to get moving. Wake up, lift the veil of the status quo, and embrace the richness of a full life.
Welcome. From the introduction to Life on Your Terms.
Yes, it is.
And we'll read a little bit more. We'll have you read a little bit more from the first chapter later. How long did you work on this project?
For 2 years.
Wow. What kept you motivated as you went through it?
Because every time I talk to a new entrepreneur, and if you think, I interviewed more entrepreneurs than I actually published. So I would say, if I were, I didn't really count, but there were at least 60 interviews that I held. So imagine how inspirational each call was.
Oh, absolutely.
Connected with these folks. And then what else kept me going is each person that I talked to validated the idea with, "My gosh, that's a great idea. We need more stories like that. We need more information out there. More than ever before, people need to understand that if they do have a passion to make something happen on an entrepreneurial front, and sometimes it's a personal front that has nothing to do with business, but this is the catalyst."
Hmm.
So that kept it going. And that, and being really involved in a lot of other projects as well, so it wasn't my only project. For me, I need to have multiple things going, kind of like you do, Monica.
I don't know if I need to. I just sort of...
Well, yeah, need, want, do.
Yeah.
Okay, did you ever interview someone who just kind of thought they had a book in them, they wanted to write a book? And that was their...
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's no question.
So tell us, how did you go about finding a book that you third helped with that too, didn't it?
Well, here's the process that happened with that. It's kind of a funny story. Funny to me, anyway. I went through the process of creating an incredible book proposal. I was certain that I was going to take this book to a major publishing house, and so I wanted to be very reminiscent of the kind of proposals that I would create for my advertising clients, for the bigger clients that I worked with over the years, and really specific to demographics and marketing and support team and all of these things. Great, great project. And then I met with my coach, and we talked about publishing, and it was one of those coaching moments. It was the silliest thing in the world. He said to me, "Well, why do you want to have this published by someone else? Wouldn't you want to self-publish? And or have you considered?" It wasn't "wouldn't you want to." It was "have you considered self-publishing?" And I just started to howl, because of course it's life is hoops of what I can and cannot do with my book.
That's right.
When it comes out, it was one of those moments where it seemed so silly that it wasn't obvious to me that I was going to do it that way. And I went to Danielle, I'm trying to think of what her name is right now. White Hot Truth is the blog that she has, and she had a post on her blog about the differences between self-publishing and publishing with a big company, and so I learned by reading her blog. And then I started True Balance Press and did my research and homework and set myself up as a publisher.
Yeah,
so
good.
I figured, what the heck? I'm going to publish it on my own. I'm going to learn what needs to be done. And I hired an incredible virtual assistant with a legal background that took care of all of the crossing of T's and dotting of I's for me, so that I wouldn't have to be in that particular part of the trenches, because that's not where I want to be.
Yeah.
Now, with the digital age, self-publishing has changed a lot.
Oh, my.
It's become a much more doable option for more writers.
Right. Well, and you think about somebody like Tim Ferriss, who, or the 4-Hour Work Week, butchering the title of his book, and he he started out on his own and became a New York Times best-selling author through the efforts of his own promotion, and teaches other people how to do it. I think I have that right.
Wow.
It's at least 99,000.
Close enough, yeah.
Years ago, that would have been really much more difficult for him to pull off.
Oh, absolutely. Now, did you go, there's two, kind of a major decision to make when you're self-publishing. There's the, you go the can go the print-on-demand route, or the, you know, print a number of copies and where you have to fulfill it yourself, or find a distributor. And which way did you choose to go on that?
I'm partnered with Lightning Source.
Mm-hmm.
And Lightning Source is
print on demand.
Print on demand.
Right.
And my mind just went blank. They distribute as well. And
right.
They're really well connected, and they're connected internationally with. Albeit I have a liaison who works with them, but as far as the way that they communicate and what they're looking for and how things go and how you get paid and where the title is covered, it's been a really good experience for me.
Yeah, we've talked to other writers who've done that route with Lightning Source. I think, well, it requires the least upfront investment, which can be a big deal for some people.
Sure. Sure.
On the other hand, you're not going to make as much per copy of your book as you would if you did a press run of 5,000 copies and shipped them out from your garage. But there's a lot more that goes to, though. You know, there's both
ways.
Well,
yeah, and that's why it was so nice to have somebody in my corner that's a pro. All she does is these kinds of comparisons and contrasts, and so I was able to look at all of those options and make a decision, very much like I did in my prior life, you know, have, you know, what are the solutions, and then make that call.
Great.
And Lightning Source is also a part of Ingram, so they're pretty big.
Right, right.
They got really smart very fast. And became just top notch. I can't say enough about my experience with them thus far.
Different from other inspirational books for business people.
Well, I think that part of why it's different is it walks you through very specific ideas and examples and exercises of, you know, how to get from point A to story. It's something where you have this eclectic group of entrepreneurs that have come together and from all walks of life that have come with, you know, to the same conclusion about the importance of trust and passion and collaboration. So how is it different? I don't know that it's that much different than a lot of books out there, but I do know that it's from my personal place of experience with a lot of entrepreneurs who were generous, willing to share from their hearts and to explore and give people permission.
You're listening to Writer's Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Shan Vanderleek, author of Life on Your Terms, the support you need to follow your passion from inspirational entrepreneurs.
What does print on demand mean exactly?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Basically, I can reach out to Lightning Source and say I'd like to order 10 cases of books and receive them. But also, anybody who buys a book from Amazon, they print the book on demand. So any orders coming through Amazon go through Lightning Source. Lightning Source prints them out.
They basically not print it one at a time.
Yeah, so they're not like 5,000 books sitting in a warehouse somewhere. That's an interesting innovation too.
It
very
is.
Interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's beautiful, and it allowed me to buy the cases of books that I wanted to have locally and that I wanted to sell through my website and through Amazon and lots of other places.
Right.
And then now to have the content available for e-readers, because I did that as well through Smashwords. And so it's pretty easy to get your hands on Life on Your Terms.
And you also have it available as an e-book for someone who doesn't have an e-reader but wants to do it on the computer, correct?
Exactly.
And how is that How does that work? Is there a link from your website to go to that, or if somebody was interested in obtaining it that way?
That is in process right now and will be up probably by the end of today. But for now, they would go to smashwords.com and they would type in Life on Your Terms.
Great. So you're really a multimedia publisher.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Shan, how did you...
Very soon I'll be recording it as well.
How did you decide whom to interview for the book?
That began with the knowing who the first person was and being completely blown away by her story, and then asking her to introduce me to someone. Mm. And then that next someone introduced me to someone else.
Oh.
And then I also did social media postings in different areas, on Twitter and Facebook and my blog, newsletter. I asked people that I was impressed with. I did some research and just reached out and asked.
Great. And did you have anyone say no when you asked?
I had someone say yes and then later say no after she saw the interview. It wasn't the way she wished it to be. Mm. And that was the only one.
Wow. And how did you elicit these great stories and anecdotes from your interviewees?
We began each interview with just a conversation about just getting to know each other, if you will. And then I set a handful of questions aside that I wanted to ask everyone, wanted to ask the same questions. And then let them go, let them tell their story. We recorded the preponderance of them, and then they were transcribed. A handful of them were written by the interviewee. They wanted to handle the actual answers themselves, and then, of course, they went through editing, et cetera.
That must be the tricky part, is to edit, because when people talk, you know, they tend to go off on tangents and so forth, mm-hmm. but when we're reading it, we want it to be more...
concise.
Yes, more concise, more straight line.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you develop that skill to be able to convert the written dialogue into a readable paragraph?
The skill involved with that came from Amy McIntosh, who supported me through this project from the beginning until the end as my transcriptionist, and then I would get the material from Amy, and because she was a technical writer, it came pretty clean. But what we would do is we would take that information and get it back in front of the interviewee.
Ah.
Make sure that it resonated with them and that it sounded like them. And I gave them four or five opportunities to improve upon what it is they really wanted to share. And it was up to them to step up and say, I want to make a change, or this is good as it is. And then that way I felt like I wasn't misrepresenting anybody.
What a great way to do it.
Yeah, but is that a common practice with people?
No, I'm not.
Probably
sure that
not.
Anything I've done is common.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. No.
Well, Shan,
what I mean by that is I am honestly so experiential that I move in a way that, well, that makes sense. If I were on the other end of this, I'd want to have an opportunity to look at it, to be comfortable with it, and to say yes or no, or hey, could you tweak this, or gosh, I can't believe I really talked that way.
Here's the way I wanted to sound.
Yeah. Here's what I wanted to say.
Here's what I really meant.
Yeah, right.
So, Shan, before we run out of time, could you read another short section from your book?
I would love to.
Great. This is Shan Vanderleek, and the book is Life on Your Terms.
To boldly go where no one else has gone before is a sexy idea. Sexier still is discovering mentors, explorers, and visionaries who are willing to share the bold steps they have already taken, along with the lessons they learned along the way. Oftentimes, all we ever have to do is explore our curiosity. I wanted to learn the secrets of living the entrepreneurial dream, So I began inviting intriguing entrepreneurs to be a part of this book. Why? Because I'm a delightfully curious woman. At the start of this project, I couldn't have imagined the scope and breadth of the result. The stories included in this book will introduce you to a group of people who summoned the courage to make an extraordinary life for themselves on their own terms. Each interview a gift. Each can help you add a few details to your personal roadmap to success. Follow your own curiosity, and you'll never know where it may lead you. Despite their incredibly different lives, there are common threads amongst all of the interviewees in this book, which collectively constitute the keys to living your dreams. Passion, awareness, support, trust, destiny, and courage. Each individual knew that they were meant for something more than performing an unrewarding job and collecting a paycheck. I found it incredibly interesting that not one of these entrepreneurs mentioned money or material things as a primary goal. To them, success is defined in broader, more ephemeral terms. Out of all the keys we discovered here, passion is probably the most important. If you were locked in a windowless room, passion would be the key that opens the door. And I think I'll stop there.
Okay. So, Shan, what's next on your agenda?
Oh, so many good things. I have Life on Your Terms workshops ahead and speaking engagements locally and with a Grand Traverse Women's Group, and I hope to take the show on the road this year beyond the local area that I serve. I'm writing an article currently for Aspire magazine. I believe you had Linda Joy on your program.
Yes, we did.
And so I write for her magazine regularly and was a part of her book as well, A Juicy Joyful Life. I am creating a completely non-related project from Life on Your Terms called Rock Your Goddess. And because I'm a yoga instructor as well as a coach, I like to bring women together and combine yoga and meditation and creative expression and coaching all in one luscious afternoon. So I do that as well.
And wow.
That's on the table for February and March.
And didn't you say you're going to be recording your book?
You know, I am. I do a lot of voice work for people. As a matter of fact, I did the voice work for Linda Joy's book. Mm-hmm. So when that's available on Audible, you'll hear my voice. And it's a passion of mine. It's something I started as a teenager in college, and it's something that I'll continue to do. So I expect that, yes, I will record this, make it available via Audible or wherever, and that will happen within the next 6 months.
I have one question. When do you sleep?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that. I actually have a pretty good handle on how I use my time. Because I don't force myself to have to do anything in a big fat hurry anymore.
Mm.
And I allow it to incrementally build on what I've already done. So this Rock Your Goddess stuff that I'm talking about, or the Life on Your Terms accelerator workbooks that go along with the book,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to have all of them done overnight. I can have one a month done.
Okay.
Created. And available. I can do these things and say, okay, now I'm ready to take this out. I hired a speaking coach. I tightened up my speech. Now I'm ready to go out and talk about life on your terms. Now I'm ready. So I do sleep. I sleep well. I have a lot of time to take care of me and be with my family. And as I said earlier in the call, this is my life's work, so I'm going to enjoy it.
Good.
Shan, what is your website?
My main coaching website is truebalancelifecoaching.com, and that will connect everybody to everything that I do.
Okay.
For coaching and the books and products. The book website is lifeonyourtermsbook.net, and everything there is there, and if any of your listeners are interested and picking up a book from the website, they get a free report and MP3 of navigating the four stages of transition. So that's a nice bonus to buy directly from the author. But I'm also available at Amazon.com if you search Life on Your Terms.
Great. So what advice would you give aspiring writers, Shan?
To write. Just begin. Just get started.
Yeah.
For me, it was blogging and newsletters, and then it became journaling, blogging, and newsletters, and then it became articles for magazines, and then it became, you know, it just, again, that incremental building on, you get better the more you hone your practice.
Wow. So do you think of yourself now as a writer?
I think of myself as a coach first.
Mm-hmm.
The message that I can share through my writing.
Great. And before you started doing this, did you have much writing experience, or was it something that when you left the corporate world, then you started writing?
I had writing experience within the corporate world. It was just more dedicated to sales promotion, copywriting, internal communication. I'm a communications major.
Okay.
So communication for me was always really important, corporate communication, emails, clear, concise, technical, direct conversation. So I think all of that experience helped me with this, but I had no idea I was a writer until I began writing.
Well, congratulations, because you're a writer now.
Oh, thank you so much.
Without
a
doubt.
It's a pleasure to be here with you both today.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we're out of time, except we need some final words from Caroline.
Oh, yes. I love this one. A smile can help the world. Not using your smile is like having $1 million in the bank and not having a checking account.
That's great.
So thanks for being with us, Shan. And if you're listening on Friday, stay tuned now for Planet Erstwhile. And if you missed part of the interview, check back in with us Monday morning at 8 a.m. for the rebroadcast, or it will also be available at writersvoices.com.
Writers' Voices is hosted, produced, and engineered by Monica Hadley, Caroline Kilborn, and Shemaine Montana. Archives available at KRUUFM.com and writersvoices.com. Writers' Voices is a production of KRUULP 100.1 FM, broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield, Iowa.